We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day. Plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your South of the Border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program on this Wednesday as we begin our Preakness Week, the March to the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. We welcome you to the show on this Wednesday as we begin another week covering the great sport of kings, Las Vegas style, right here from the studios at South Point, at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And, of course, on the South Point Streaming Network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. Welcome all of the listeners out here running around town this morning on a beautiful morning here in Las Vegas at our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And then all of our websites, you know, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, iPhone, Android, and Google phone covered by your phone apps, or I should say your device apps. Does anybody use it as a phone anymore? On your device apps. And, of course, you can get it at your app store, and you get the KSHP app. You can listen through the radio station feed and, of course, the YouTube app. You can see and hear us on the YouTube app as well. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting. We welcome you to the show however, wherever, whenever you get to the show. As you can see behind me, we are counting down to the Preakness Stakes. They have drawn for the Preakness Stakes. They did that on Monday. And on Sunday, about a couple hours after we were off the air on Sunday, when we were debating and not just debating, but trying to figure out whether journalism was going to go in the Preakness Stakes or not. The word came down that Mr. McCarthy showed up at Pimlico, took a look at his horse, and said, all systems are go. So journalism was entered into the Preakness Stakes. Of course, he got to actually Pimlico Racecourse yesterday morning. So he's on the scene there at Pimlico, and they have nine horses that are set and ready to go after the draw for the Preakness Stakes. We'll get to that in just a moment. Do want to remind you that there's going to be a big, big weekend of racing. And that big weekend of racing, of course, it is all centered around Pimlico on Friday. And that's just 2 days away on Friday. It's the Black Eyed Susan's Day, counterpart of the Kentucky Oaks and the Acorn. The Black Eyed Susan's, they also drew for that race. There'll be six stakes races on Friday at Pimlico that are headed up by, of course, the Black Eyed Susan. And then on Saturday at Pimlico Preakness Stakes Day, there's going to be nine stakes races on Preakness Stakes Day, three grade threes, and, of course, one grade one, that is the Preakness Stakes, and, of course, five other stakes races on the card. So it'll be a big day of racing coming up on Saturday, and, of course, a big week on Friday and Saturday, all centered on Baltimore, Maryland, on Preakness weekend at Pimlico Racecourse. This will be the final Preakness Stakes to be held at the Pimlico Racecourse that we know now, because that's going through all of the remodeling. As you know, they'll be racing over at Laurel until they remodel the Pimlico Racecourse. As a matter of fact, in the last few years, all of the three venues that host the Triple Crown have gone through big remodeling. Of course, Churchill Downs continues to remodel there. And Pimlico now going through the remodeling process. And, of course, Belmont Park, they're building a brand-new Belmont Park at Belmont as well. So in a couple of years, all three venues for the Triple Crown will have new updated stadiums to work from, but this will be the last year at the old Pimlico Racecourse proper. And looking at the Preakness Stakes, you know, I'll bet you can win a beer or a drink on this trivia question. In the last 45 runnings of the Preakness Stakes, three trainers, Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and D. Wayne Lucas, have combined to win 17 of the last 45 Preakness Stakes. They all have a horse, of course, in this Preakness. Let's now take a look at how they drew on Monday for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness Stakes, and we'll take a look at that. By the way, I will go over the final odds in the Preakness Future book as well. But from the rail out, number one is goal-oriented. Goal-oriented is the one horse. Bob Baffert, the trainer, and Flavian Pratt riding. The morning line is at 6-1. Then comes journalism. Journalism is next, and journalism will break from post two. Mike McCarthy, of course, the trainer, Umberto Rispoli riding. He's the 8-5 favorite in this race, 8-5 morning line favorite. Number three is American Promise. This is D. Wayne Lucas's trained horse. He was 16th in the Kentucky Derby, but Lucas said he was eating up his feed, and he was looking good, so on to the Preakness. He'll be number three at 15-1. Number four is Heart of Honor, who was second in the UAE Derby in his last start. Did not make the field in the Kentucky Derby. Jamie Osborne, of course, is the trainer, and Safi Osborne will be riding. This is a family affair here at 12-1. Number five is Pay Billy. He got his berth into the Preakness Stakes by winning the Federico Tessio at Laurel in his last start. It was an automatic berth to the Preakness. He's number five at 20-1, trained by Michael E. Gorham and will be ridden by Raul Mena. The six is River Thames, trained by Todd Pletcher. I. Red Ortiz Jr. gets the mount for the Preakness, was third most recently in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, and did not get into the Kentucky Derby at 9-2. The seven is Sandman. That's the influencer horse who got all that action in the Kentucky Derby. We'll wait and see how much action he gets in the Preakness Stakes after finishing seventh in the Kentucky Derby, trained by Mark Cassie. John Velasquez is going to ride this time at 4-1. The 8 is Clever Again. This is the wise guy horse, Clever Again, trained by Steve Asmussen, will be ridden by Jose Ortiz. He won the Hot Springs Stakes at Oak Lawn Park, and he is at 5-1, said he's got a lot of upside to this horse. And number 9 is Gosker. Brendan Walsh trainee Luis Saez will ride here. He was the winner of the Lexington Stakes, did not make the Kentucky Derby at 20-1. So that is the field for the Kentucky Derby. Now, taking a look at the morning line odds versus the future wager odds. Remember, they had the future book for the Preakness Stakes. And, of course, that was closed before the Preakness Stakes. So here's the final odds for that. As we look at it, Gold Oriented was part of the all other three-year-olds. Okay, he was part of the field at 22-1. So if he wins, it'll pay 47.20 in the futures. Journalism was the future book favorite. He closed at 5-1. He'll pay 12.40. American Promise closed at 15-1, and he'll pay 33.60. Heart of Honor is the next one. Heart of Honor closed at 50-1. This horse will pay $108.80 in the futures if he wins. Pay Billy is next. He closed at 45-1. He'll pay $96.40. Remember, this is the future book odds, not the odds that will be paying off at the racetrack on the day of the day's pool. Okay? Next, River Thames. River Thames closed at 25-1. He'll pay $58. Sandman closed at 14-1. He'll pay $31.20. And Clever Again closed at 15-1. He'll pay $32.80. And Gossiger closed at 35-1, and he'll pay $77.20. That's in the Preakness Stakes Parimutuel future book that they had earlier last week, and of course the week before that. That is already locked in and in place. Now the pool, of course, the Preakness Stakes Parimutuel pool will be, of course, on the day of. Okay. So journalism at 8-5 on the morning line. So he's going to be the favorite, yet you could have got him at 5-1 in the futures. Of course, at that time, nobody knew for sure whether he's going to run or not. So that's the field for the 150th edition of the Preakness Stakes, and it'll be really interesting. We got some Preakness facts and records we're going to get to as we move through the week. But, of course, now the big question after the post-position draw, horses are all the horses that are in the race has to be on grounds by today, and they are. So it's all set and ready to go there. Now, the most important thing is the weather. The weather conditions for Baltimore, Maryland, which, of course, where Pimlico Racecourse is at, the weather conditions, the 5-day out weather forecast is as this. On Friday, Black Eyed Susan's Day, it'll be, they're going to top off at 88 degrees, but it's a 70% chance of rain on Friday, Black Eyed Susan's Day. Now, if the temperature gets up to 88 and it's raining, it's going to be humid there on Friday for Black Eyed Susan's. On Saturday, Preakness Day, in the morning, they say it'll still be cloudy. It'll break away to some sunshine later on in the afternoon and the evening. The temperature is expected to be 89 degrees with a 24% chance of any rain on Preakness Day. So we'll wait and see about that. And, of course, as we move through the week, we'll see how the weather conditions are. As far as today, here in Las Vegas, beautiful, gorgeous outside. The wind finally subsided here in Las Vegas. We had a howling winds from Sunday night through Monday and Tuesday. I mean, if you have a pool, your pool is a mess by now, I'm sure, with all the lawn furniture that probably made it in there and all the leaves, etc. But in any case, it's nice now. Just a little breeze out, but very nice now. All the wind is gone. And it's 61 degrees as I walked in the door here. It'll be 80 degrees today in Las Vegas with the sun shining beautifully. Now, on Saturday here, we're going to get the wind's going to come back here on Saturday. It's going to top off at 88 degrees. And on Sunday, the wind will subside and it'll be 75 degrees. Just in case you want to enjoy the Preakness Stakes with us here in Las Vegas at the South Point, it's always fast, firm, and perfect, as you know, in the race book here in Las Vegas. And so that's just the way it shakes out right now. As far as today is concerned, you got a lot of weather going on in the between Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. And, of course, the rest of the coasts around the country are pretty much clear, and for the most part, most of the country is clear, except for in the Plain States. Outside of that, looks like pretty good weather. Only four racetracks on our racing menu today, so that will be a short one. We have with, of course, Jonathan Ardoon standing by. We'll get his thoughts on the Preakness draw. Of course, if it's Wednesday, it's time for Dwayne Carlucci. He'll be here with us from the Rampart. Rich Eng will be along, and so will John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz. And, of course, your brief, short menu yet to come. So without any further ado, one more thing that I did want to mention. As you know, Memorial Day is coming up the last Monday of this month. It'll be coming up real quick because, after all, we're already in the midpoint of May. But, as you know, we always do Memorial Day Monday show because it's a big racing day, Memorial Day. And we will have another special Race Day Las Vegas Memorial Day Monday show. That'll start at our usual weekday start times, though, at 7 a.m. So we will have a Monday show on Memorial Day, on the holiday, but it'll start our usual weekday at 7 a.m. All right, let's get started with the racing menu. We'll do that right after our first break, and then we'll get started with our handicappers as well as we start this Wednesday, looking ahead to the Preakness on Saturday. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Take a quick look at what happened on Sunday at Belmont at Aqueduct. Jerry Jackowitz came with a winner for us in the second race when Daniel won. That horse paid $9.70. One of his hookups ran second for the dollar exact, a payoff of $20.30. So Jerry gave us a winner on Sunday early at Belmont at Aqueduct. Katie Davis won back-to-back races. She won the third race and paid $4.80, came back in the fourth race and paid $44.60. Irett Ortiz Jr. had back-to-back wins. He won the fifth race paying $3.80, came back in the sixth race paying $8.70 for trainer Mark Cassie. And all in all, that was just about what happened at Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday. The pick six paid $47,619. At Santa Anita on Sunday, Doug O'Neill and Umberto Rispoli got it started in the first race with a $3.60 winner. And for the most part, no jockeys out of the nine races had more than one win at Santa Anita on Sunday. And the pick five, the late pick five, you ready for this? 53-20 started out the late pick five, 53-20, then 7-20, followed by $4 even, 10-20, and 24-20. Put that together, and the 50-cent pick five at Santa Anita on Sunday paid $22,766.25. Nobody had the six in the pick six. That paid $423 to fives. So you got a carryover in the pick six for Friday at Santa Anita of $94,783. And at Monmouth Park on Sunday, the Serena Song Stakes was won by Take the Money, Honey. Take the Money, Honey paid $6 even for Ruiz and Moore. Finishing second was Catherine Wheel. Third was Power Squeeze. And Paco Lopez, who's been winning several races there on a given day at Monmouth, only had one winner on Monmouth on Sunday, and that horse paid $380. Churchill Downs. Safi Joseph Jr., trainer Safi Joseph Jr., had a couple of wins. He won the second race at $4.08 with Jose Ortiz and came back in the eighth race with Jose Ortiz again at $4.96. So Ortiz and Safi Joseph Jr. teamed up to have two wins together on Sunday, but Ortiz had three wins overall. He also won the fourth race there and paid $20.44. The late pick five. There was a middle pick four at Churchill Downs on Sunday, featuring the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh races. Here's the prices: $20.44, $9.32, $33.20, and $71.44. The pick four paid $70,314.80, and the late pick five at Churchill, that started out with that $33 horse and had the $71 horse in it. In addition to that, $4.96, $11.72, and $7.88. That pick five paid $37,153.75. Some crazy stuff happening on Sunday out there. And we will get started now with our racing menu for today. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. So if you're here in Las Vegas, you'll be coming out to the book today here at South Point. These will be the first post times to roll out in our books. If not, and if you're not in the Pacific time zone anywhere else and you're in another time zone, and we have plenty of them across the world as we broadcast, adjust whatever time zone you're in to the Pacific time zone so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Four tracks. You ready? Here we go. Belterra Park back on the racing menu. Belterra Park has a first post time of 9:35. Then we go to Finger Lakes, upstate New York. Finger Lakes, first post time is 10 a.m. at Finger Lakes. Following that comes Horseshoe Indianapolis. Now, Horseshoe Indianapolis has a carryover in their Super High Five today of $4,539. Their first post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is set at 11:10. And then we wrap it up with Evangeline Downs. Evangeline Downs' first post time is at 3:30. And that is the racing menu for today. Now let's get out to our first handicapper and, of course, Jonathan Ardoon. Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. It's finally a beautiful day here. That wind was blowing all over the place the last 2 days, though. Wow.
Well, it's raining pretty good at Pimlico. The track was off this morning. I saw a picture of a journalism jogging over the sloppy track. So that track looks like a mess, and they're expecting more rain, I guess, until Saturday. So let's see how it all falls out.
You know what? We had kind of a sloppy track at Churchill Downs for the Derby, and weather predictions say that we may very well have a sloppy track for the Preakness Stakes on Saturday at Pimlico. Hopefully it'll dry out, but nevertheless, it looks like it's going to be an off-track, sloppy track. And with the Belmont Stakes being run at Saratoga, and you know the old saying at Saratoga, if you don't like the weather, just stick around 10 minutes, it'll change. You could very well have rain at Saratoga. We might have a sloppy, muddy Triple Crown races this year, although we won't have a Triple Crown winner.
No, but journalism makes it a little more interesting. He's going to be 3-5 probably, and I think he's vulnerable coming back on just 2 weeks, but apparently he's okay, or the connections obviously wouldn't be running him.
Now, you really do think that he's vulnerable, because it looks like, unless a couple of new shooters that have been entered in this race really pick it up, because they do have a lot of promise to him, that it looks like he kind of towers a little bit over the rest of these three-year-olds. Now, I know that you are of the opinion that maybe coming back in 2 weeks is a little bit too fast, but You know, McCarthy waited till the day before and actually went out back east to see his horse personally, or at least I think he's in Kentucky still. And he gave him the okay. So the horse must have been doing good. It must have recovered rather well from that.
Yeah, but it's still, listen, Ralph, the horse is obviously the best horse in the race. The question is he going to be the best horse on Saturday? Mm-hmm. That being said, coming back on just 2 weeks, you know, and listen, there are other horses in the race coming back just as quick. Goal Oriented, the Baffert horse, he ran on the Derby Day card. He ran on an undercard race. He's coming back in 2 weeks. The Lucas horse is coming back in 2 weeks, so... Listen, journalism can only get beat by journalism. If he doesn't show up and fire, well, then he's going to get beat. If he shows up and he, you know, is even 80% of what he is, he's probably going to beat this field. But like you said, there are certainly new shooters in the race. And Clever again, the Asmussen horse, making his fourth start, but he's got time coming into the race. That's the horse that I'm leaning towards. But listen, you know, we got to wait and see. But again, journalism probably will be 3-5. And I don't know if that's such a good bet on a short layoff.
All right. Clever, again, is an offspring of American Pharoah, who won the Triple Crown, as we know, trained by Steve Asmussen. He won the Hot Spring Stakes in his last start. And I guess he's had enough time. And I guess he has shown a lot of promise.
Yeah, listen, he has three career starts. He's won two of them. He hasn't done anything wrong, you know. Now he's stretching out, and he's running over a wet track, I guess, for the first time also. That's going to be another question. You have horses in this race that have never run on a wet track. He's going to get to run on a wet track for the first time. River Thames is a little interesting, the Pletcher horse. You know, there's a lot of ways to go. One thing I know, Mr. Sandman's going to take a lot of money again. Well, not Mr. Sandman, just Sandman. It's going to take a lot of money again, thanks to the influencer. And he may piss off a lot of people. I think he has 3 million followers. He got him in the Derby, and now he's going to try to get him in the Preakness.
Yeah, so that influencer dynamic might be something that can work out great for horse racing, or if you follow the wrong horse, very poor for horse racing. So wait.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to piss off a lot of people, yeah. Ralph. They got him on Derby Day, yeah. And double up to catch up, but now, that doesn't always
now
work.
You're talking about coming back in 2 weeks for the Preakness Stakes. But did you know that up until 1969, the spacing of 5 weeks between the three races was not? It was shorter than that?
Really? What did they do? They added an extra week for the Belmont?
The Derby Preakness Belmont Order was established in 1931, and the five-week spacing between those races was set in 1969.
Wow, I thought it was a lot. Yeah. I thought it was the beginning, to tell you the truth.
I got to tell you, I thought it was too, but that is indeed the case. And there were plenty of time. In fact, I was reading up on this, that in 1890, the Preakness and Belmont Stakes were run on the same card at a track called Morris Park. So
you did your homework, Ralph. You came prepared.
they have come a long way, that's for sure. So we'll wait and see. And, of course, you do remember that, you know, the sequence, of course, is Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. But it has changed around in the history of these races. And, of course, most recently, back in 2020, when we had the COVID thing, where the Belmont was actually run first, then they ran the Derby, right, and the Preakness, if you remember. So that was
exactly
only 5 years ago. So,
well, that was because of the pandemic,
of COVID,
and that was not a normal situation, and hopefully we'll never have to go through that again.
Yeah.
By the way, Ralph, breaking news last night, mm-hmm. Churchill is going to try to get rid of fairgrounds, and you know, they have a history of doing this. They bought Hollywood Park, they sold it. They bought Arlington Park, they sold it. They bought Calder, they sold it. So
No, wait a minute now. I correct you on this. They bought Hollywood Park and closed it down.
Well, so, okay. But that's what they did with all of them.
They didn't just sell it to somebody else who conducted racing. They knocked out racing at Hollywood Park. Ditto, right, for Arlington Park, which was a monument to racing. That was a beautiful place that they leveled, and now you're saying they're Louisiana. Wow, people in Louisiana fairgrounds, that has a deep history. They're gonna get a lot of resistance off of that.
Yeah, you would think so. What do you mean? They did it to Calder, too. They bought Calder and shut it down, didn't they?
So they destroyed Calder.
They sold it, they shut it down. Whatever it is they got rid of racing for three major racetracks and three love tracks.
I know what it is, but you explain to the people why they are taking this posture.
It has something to do with the slot machines. I'm not I didn't read up on it. I read it in the middle of the night that they're closing or they're getting rid of it, and it's just a disaster. Obviously, they care a lot about Churchill, but not so much about other tracks that they go out and purchase. And people think, wow, Churchill's coming in and taking over. It's got to be good. It's not so good. They seem to get rid of every track they buy other than Churchill Downs, and I have a feeling that someone's going to come in and save Fairgrounds. There are rumors.
That place has too much history to it down there in New Orleans. Well, we'll see.
What are they going to do? Run that Louisiana Downs all year?
That's a developing story, that's for sure. But a lot of crazy things happening in the world of racing, and we'll keep an eye on the positive and take a look at what's going on at Pimlico while we watch what's going on down there in Louisiana. All right, well, you don't have any sheets today because there's no tracks that you cover, so I guess we'll just wait and get some picks from you tomorrow.
That's it. I'm useless today. Get rid of me. See you, Ralph.
Wait a minute. Was that your soapbox, the Louisiana?
That was it.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan. Go back to your honey-do list, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Ralph. I got about four things left. I should be done in about 3 hours. Thank you.
We all have been there and done that. Anyhow, we all been there and done that. Coming up next, we got Rich Eng standing by. Of course, Dwayne Carlucci will be with us a little bit later on. And, of course, John and Jerry as well. We will have a pick. I guarantee you there's a pick out there, and we'll get it for you. So don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village. This beautiful building that is going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. I understand that Delaware Park is opening day today there. It's not on the menu, though, so far here in Las Vegas. I'm sure they'll get it picked up soon. And as far as the other racetracks, I understand Horseshoe Indianapolis, muddy racing conditions there, and they're off the turf. Let's go to Mr. Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right, Richie, your thoughts, any surprises as far as you're concerned about the Preakness Stakes?
Well, I was happy to see three horses come out of the Kentucky Derby running in the Preakness, and to me they kind of tower over the group. I think of the newcomers, the horse I would be most afraid of is River Thames, who ran second to Sovereignty in the Fountain of Youth, so he showed his ability. I guess you could kind of say he's in the same position that Baeza was in, running against Journalism, and the fact that he ran a close second. So River Thames ran a good second to Sovereignty, so it's an interesting race. But I started working on the card last night, Ralph, And I agree with Jonathan's assessment that journalism is obviously the horse to beat, and he's going to be a very short price. But if he just runs any semblance of his normal speed figures, I think he's the surest type winner in the Preakness.
I do too. I think that they waited a long time. They waited just before the deadline to enter the race. The trainer went out there and observed him, in person. Looked good. Everything was fine, and he's moving on. Of course, he's at Pimlico now, and all things stay the same. I think when he gets in the starting gate on Saturday, he'll be the one to beat. We'll be looking for some price horses underneath, maybe for Exacta and Trifectas, but I think the journalism. And it'll be great, because if he wins that race, then it's the rubber match there in the Belmont Stakes, which is always good. That's the second best thing to a horse going for the Triple Crown, rubber match there. Richie, what do you got for us today?
Well, you know what? I had a pick at Horseshoe Indianapolis, and then in one of the stakes races, and I see they came off the grass, and I took a peek, and I'm not even going to give the pick out. It's almost embarrassing, Ralph.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. It was the eighth race on the card, and it was a $150,000 race. It is a stakes race, there were eight in the race. Four have scratched out of it because, as you said, it came off the turf. And the horse that you were going to pick is the one horse, Chasing Liberty, with Louis Saez for Rob Atras. So we know that they went in there to run in this stakes race with this horse. He was 8-5 on the morning line before all the scratches. So, folks, if you want to, put him maybe in an Exacta with another horse and try to punch out a $10 or $20 Exacta and make an odds-on favorite a little bit better price, the one is the key in that race. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and plus the race is taken off the dirt. The horse in seven career starts has run all on grass. Has never run a race on the main track. Yeah. So, it's too at that price, too many unknown variables for me.
You said off the dirt, but you meant off the turf, right?
Off the turf, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, Richie, and I know that you're getting ready to do your extensive work for Preakness Day, right?
Yeah, I'm working on it for Bridgenet.com. I'll be done probably by the end of tonight, and it'll be available on the RacedayLasVegas.com website tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I'll be ready.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot, Richie, and we'll just leave it at that, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
All right, you got it. Rich Ang with us, and now we're going to go to Dwayne Carlucci standing by. Dwayne, good morning.
How we doing today, Ralph?
I'm doing fine, my man. What's going on out there at the Rampart?
We're still recovering from the Kentucky Derby, getting ready to slide into the Preakness, I'll be honest with you. And like you said, Ralph, really good that journalism is running. That now adds some intrigue, at least, to the race. And, hopefully it'll create some handle, because we were just resting our laurels on Sandman there for, about a 48-hour period. But it's kind of disappointing Sovereignty isn't running. But like you said, you touched upon it earlier, if you have the rubber mat, match at Saratoga in the Belmont Stakes, that could be tremendous. Yeah. And if Baeza joins in, it's going to be a fabulous race. We know journalism's going to be odds on come this weekend.
Yeah, and if you look at the Preakness Stakes, if we're going to go ahead and give it to journalism, then as players, we don't want to accept the short price. So we'll be looking to either use them as a singleton in the race over race, pick fours, pick five, something like that, or use them as the key horse in an Exacta or a Trifecta with some long shots underneath. And there are quite a few horses in the race that are going to be good prices that could very well run second and third.
Yeah, you definitely have shots in here. You have Clever Again, you have Gosker. These are new faces. River Thames will join the running. And I definitely think that Steve Asmussen and Clever Again have a definite chance. I mean, the horse is very nice. Also, you have the horse on the rail, goal orientated. So it's a wide open field if, journalism doesn't bring his A game, which, I think he's going to be very tough to beat. He's going to be odds on. He's going to be a short prize. But anything could happen at Pimlico. We've seen that before, and that's definitely the place where you see a lot of upsets take place. of proven Derby winners. And, you know, it's going to be a good race, in my opinion. I think it's wide open. I don't think it's as, you know, closed as everybody feels.
Duane, you know, a lot of people think that if journalism comes with any kind of game whatsoever, he might be able to beat this group here. But you're right about Pimlico, because the odd configuration of the racetrack and the fact that now we might be looking at a track that's off as far as the racing conditions, might be as off as much as muddy, depending on the weather. That'll play into it. But Pimlico Racecourse and the Preakness itself kind of favors horses that have natural early speed, doesn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that you have to be within that first tier, you know, and that first flight when you hit that top of the stretch. You look at the horses like American Pharoah and Justify, you know, they were very close to the lead, if not on front. Out front. So that's definitely very important. A mile and 3/16, different odd, you know, configuration, like you said. And if it does rain, that adds to the handicapping possibilities. And especially for the rail horse there, goal orientated, he definitely ran very well at Churchill over that sloppy surface. But it isn't like journalism didn't like that mud as well. So we're going to keep our eye on the weather. We're going to keep our eye on all the workouts and the happenings, because like I say, you have to gather as much information prior to these races, make sure journalism's in tip-top condition as well as Sandman. It's a quick turnaround, keep that in mind. It's only 2 weeks, then you got the 3-week period to go to Saratoga, so these horses need to be exceptionally fit to compete in all three races. Keep your eye on the workouts, that's the most important, the action of the horse and how they're coming in. Listen to what the trainers say as well.
Now, you know, the distance of the Kentucky Derby is a mile and a quarter. The distance of the Belmont Stakes traditionally is a mile and a half. It would be the longest one. But because it's being run at Saratoga, they've shortened it up to a mile and a quarter, which is the same distance they'll run a little bit later on in the year at Saratoga in the Traverse Stakes. You want to keep that in mind when you're watching that race as well, folks. And, of course, the Preakness is a mile and 3/16, which means it's 1/16 of a mile shorter than the mile and a quarter. And if you kind of come back to the Kentucky Derby, okay, and you see in the Kentucky Derby that at the mile and 3/16 marker there, journalism and Sovereignty were banging head to head before Sovereignty finally pulled away in the last 16th of a mile.
Yeah, you definitely have to make your move a little sooner than later if you're a closer like Sandman or a deep closer. So you have to have good positioning. It's a shorter field, though, Ralph. So definitely it's easier for the jockeys to navigate. And it's definitely, you know, a unique distance, which we don't see or handicap that often other than the Preakness. And I think that came into journalism's thought process as well, hitting on that Saratoga is going to be back to a mile and a quarter and not a mile and a half. So you do have that possibility where you can compete in all of these races in that short spacing period. So I think it's a good move by McCarthy. I think the horse is going to be right there. He has tactical speed. He knows how to sit close. It's just a matter of, can he reel in that rail horse and some of the other speed horses, maybe the Lucas horse, who has exceptional breeding over a sloppy track out of American Pharoah. You know, he might play a factor and be a little more competitive than he was in the Kentucky Derby. Like I said, you have River Thames now, and the two bottom horses. You know, I'm very fond of the Steve Asmussen horse. So, you know, journalism has his work cut out for him, but he has enough tactical speed and enough, you know, throttling power to just dominate if he wants and if he's right in this Preakness.
You know, Duane, when you take a look at the way this Preakness may run, you've got, you know, journalism who everybody thinks that should be the horse to beat. And then you got the influencer horse, Sandman, who ran a dull seventh in the Kentucky Derby, although he did have some trouble in that race. And, you know, we're trying to cultivate new players to the game. He's got a following, that's for sure. But if he keeps losing, that following is going to dissipate real quick.
The Metallica following, as we like to call it, Ralph. But, you know, it's great that when, you know, you have celebrities as superstars. You saw it with Jason Wirth. Now you see it with James Hetfield. It's great when you have celebrities and so much popularity surrounding a horse. They were giving out T-shirts. They were doing so much. You have a young ownership group. It's great for horse racing. And this is how we try to market it to the younger player. And it would be very nice to see this horse compete at a high level. And John Velasquez now takes the mount. You know, Jose's going to the Asmussen horse. I think he has an excellent chance. I mean, he definitely, when he runs his top race, could beat these caliber of foes, including Journalism. So he's just going to have to avoid trouble. You know, he's going to be near the rear. Yeah. Let's hope he breaks clean. You know, he's had trouble breaking in the past, but he's definitely a possibility. And you're going to see him probably second choice, in my opinion, in the wagering, just because of the popularity, like you said, that surrounds this great gray racehorse.
Well, I know that we're going to gear it up for Friday and Saturday, a whole bunch of great stakes races on the undercard as well at Pimlico. Today it's Slim Pickens, but do you have one?
Yeah, I'll take a shot. I don't think he scratched. Let's go in the sixth race at Horseshoe Indianapolis, the seven horse, Miss Candela. I'm trying to avoid. They had a great turf card today, Ralph, and now everything's off the turf. Saiz was there. I think Jose was there. You had Curtis there. And now we have Slim Pickens, but Abel Sedillo should be able to get this horse in gear. He won over a sloppy track before, which it should be off going at Horseshoe today. So let's take a shot in race six, number seven, Miss Candela with Abel Sedillo.
All right. There's only one scratch in that particular race. It's the nine horse. So number seven, Miss Candela, the seven, Miss Candela is the play. 8-1 on the morning line. We'll wait and see about that. That, of course, again, in the sixth race, number seven. In the sixth race, number seven at Horseshoe Indianapolis. And if you're ever out there near Summerlin, et cetera, there's only one place to go, and that is, of course, Rampart in that part of the country. That's for sure. Dwayne, you do a good job over there. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate you having me on, Ralph, and good luck today. Let's have a great weekend.
You got it, my man. All right. When we come back, we've got John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz for their thoughts on this Wednesday as we gear it up for the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. Don't go away.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book.
Sports by the book. South Point Studio.
This is the best sports betting network.
I would argue it is a total mismatch.
There's value with underdog prices in series.
I would lean to the under here.
My numbers are saying I got to bet the Tigers.
Two-way action.
When in doubt, we juice that favorite, that extra nickel.
Sports by the book. South Point Studio.
Forget about it. The best.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. Now we go to John Lindo standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. It's getting really nice out here. The wind has finally subsided, and we're getting really nice weather. It's going to be 80 degrees today here, and the sun's shining.
It's gorgeous out here today, too, so I wish we had some racing, but we have to wait till Friday.
All right, John, well, your thoughts about the draw and the field for the Preakness?
You know, not a lot of drama about the draw with nine horses and a long run to the first turn. I think everybody's going to be okay where they're drawn. Again, Sandman being a late entry into the race. I was surprised at the draw, Ralph, that They do the draw. They host. I was watching the broadcast, and instead of bringing up a Dwayne Lucas to talk about, you know, all the Preaknesses he's won, or Bob Baffert, both those guys have a horse in the Preakness. They brought up that media influencer guy, Griffin, whatever his last name is, and that was their interview. So it just tells you where some of the priorities, maybe it's not really giving information to the betting public. So it's kind of strange.
Yes, it was. I guess they wanted to capture a new audience when they had it, and we'll wait and see. But if the horse doesn't do any better in the Preakness than he did in the Derby, that influence might go right out the door.
Yeah, you don't want to be a bad influence.
No, and that could be so, that's for sure. Well, the weather conditions and the track conditions, I think, are the biggest question mark left.
Yeah, a lot of rain yesterday, more rain today, and even Friday and Saturday, you know, 50% chance of rain, I think, at least on Friday and Saturday. It's going to be warm and humid, too, so
yeah.
Conditions that, you know, but they all got to run in it, so we'll just see how it shapes up, and they're already off the turf for Thursday at Pimlico, from what I understand.
Well, we got two big days, 6 stakes races on Friday headed up by the Black Eyed Susans, and, of course, on Saturday, 9 stakes races headed up by the Preakness, so... Your plans for the Lindo Report this week?
Well, I've got Churchill Downs for their afternoon card tomorrow. Then we go back to Santa Anita on Friday. And I'll also do that All Stakes Pick 5 at Pimlico on Saturday or Friday, which includes the Black Eyed Susan Stakes. And we'll do the full card at Pimlico and Santa Anita on Saturday and just Santa Anita on Sunday. And one update, if you're starting to handicap for Friday's Pimlico card, the favorite in the Pimlico special, Pyrenees, will not run. He will be scratched off the program.
Okay, Pyrenees off and the Pimlico special, that's for sure. Well, with all of that going on, John, we'll just let you get back to work and get that done for us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll be working on it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right, you got it, my man. Now we're going to go out to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Now, when you handicap, you know, a race like the Preakness Stakes, I know you do a lot with the horses and your calculations and your system and your numbers. But do you take in consideration the track and maybe the biases that the racetrack that they're going to run on into consideration when you do that?
Absolutely. 100%.
I was going to ask you then, and follow up to that, in your thoughts about Pimlico, what changes at Pimlico there as far as you're concerned?
Well, Pimlico's a tighter racetrack, and it produces better results if you're near the rail, typically. I mean, I'll have to go through a couple of the charts on Thursday and Friday to see if that's maintaining it, you know, if that's maintaining. But, of course, the rail can go bad at any time that I suppose, you know, circumstances dictate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get an outside bias. But typically speaking, over the course of a long period of time, I find Pimlico to be an inside favoring track. And I recall when DeSormo won with Exaggerator, this is something I knew as a handicapper, but he was very effusive about the idea that you're supposed to ride on the rail at Pimlico and how his experience at Pimlico told him what the right, you know, instructed his ride. So, you know, if you're closer to the rail at Pimlico, you usually have an advantage.
Speed? Does it favor speed as well?
Well, speed horses always tend to take advantage of the inside bias.
Uh-huh.
So there's two kinds of speed horses. There's the speed horse who's on the rail, and then there's the speed horse who's not on the rail. And I would say for the speed horse on the rail, there's an advantage. And for the speed horse that's not on the rail, maybe a little disadvantage.
Now,
because the advantage goes to one, it gets subtracted from the other. It's an add to one and a subtraction from the other.
Jerry, I know that you'll be at least going over the Preakness Stakes for the Jerry J's Power Pages on Saturday.
Sure.
And we'll get a thought or two from you on that. I know that you have high regards for journalism, and we'll save that thought or two for tomorrow. Want to thank you for that winner on Sunday out at Belmont at Aqueduct. And with no Belmont at Aqueduct or Santa Anita running today, it seems that you can get back to your honeydew list for today, and we'll get ready and set to begin our handicapping and picks starting tomorrow.
Well, we have racing tomorrow, and, you know, one of the things we do here at the Power Pages, we have to we have to build our speed figure. So we have days of preparation and then days of handicapping. We're finishing the preparation now, and we start handicapping this afternoon.
All right. Well, you can get back to your preparations, and we'll get back by reminding everybody we'll be back here tomorrow morning. Same time, same place, God willing, and the creek don't rise as we continue on our trek towards the Preakness Stakes on Saturday. In the meantime, Jerry does have one more thing to say for today. Say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.